fun too. So what do you think? A podcast where we discuss weird and unsolved mysteries and events and give you our completely unprofessional opinion on them. I'm Jade. With me here is B.
Yo.
Yo, B, back from a lovely holiday recently.
Oh, lovely. Well, no. Okay, it was lovely. It wasn't a holiday.
It was in like another state where you didn't have to work, so I'm going to count that.
2.5 days of running around like crazy people and getting no sleep. Not a holiday.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, having to fly like what, 5-6 hours to be in the same country?
I know.
Other people don't know they have it.
Yeah.
Like I'm happy to hop on a plane and fly to another country for like 6-7 hours, but literally to be in your own country at the other end
of
an awful flight.
Oh, was it?
Jetstar are like sardines.
Mm-hmm. That they are.
I'm like a sardine in a Jetstar plane.
Yeah, they're cheap.
They're very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like next time I'm paying the extra and I'm going to.
I think I say that every time I fly, but then I always go and book Jetstar again. Virgin's all right. I don't mind Virgin. Mm-hmm. They're cramped, but they're not as bad.
Yeah, we did Virgin on the way back, but then they tried to separate us. And I'm like, whoa, motherfuckers, no. And we selected seats as well.
Actually, do you know what? When I came back to Sydney recently, I flew Jetstar and they had, like, you know, they've got the 3 and the 3 seats. They had me and my husband, like, at the window and on the aisle, and then my 2 kids and the window on the aisle on the other side, and randos in the middle of everyone. So we were just like, do you mind if we swap seats? I don't think my kids are going to be really okay with this. Yes.
Yeah. I got my way.
Yeah.
That bee came out. She doesn't come out very often, but I was just like, no.
Bee went full
like Karen. I'm actually not. No, it wasn't even a Karen thing. I just said, look, this is the situation. I personally don't really like flying, and I don't really want to be separated from the person that I'm with. I'm like, just because we don't have the same last name doesn't mean we're not together. Because they just kept saying, the families are getting separated. And I'm like, no, there's plenty of other single people on this plane. Like, that's, we're a couple.
Just discrimination. So
What if I choose to never get married, so then I don't have the same last name?
It is. It's discrimination. Absolutely.
I was very not happy.
All right. Well, unimpressed Jetstar. Just saying.
No, that was Virgin.
Okay, unimpressed Virgin, just saying.
But we did go near one of the, it didn't go to, it was on the other side, but I saw Luna Park from our recent episode that we released. Probably not recent when this episode comes out, but I was going to go over and do some investigating, but, you know, I didn't.
Yeah, I think that those days are long gone now. Everything's been rebuilt, so. Mm. All right, well, let's get into it. So tonight we are in Canada, British Columbia, and we are looking at the murder of a real estate agent. So it's 2008, and 24-year-old Lindsay Busiak was working at an agency but was really quite fresh. She was just sort of starting out as a real estate agent, hadn't really built herself a profile yet. So it was therefore quite surprising to her when a woman called in January of that year and asked for Lindsay specifically. This woman said that her and her husband were quite urgently looking for a house to buy in the city of Victoria. And by the way, she was looking at a budget of around $1 million. So Lindsay obviously is just like, okay, why me sort of thing? Okay, but I'm going with it. The woman had a foreign accent, although I'm not sure which sort of accent. Lindsay would say that it was sort of like Mexican, but not. So it was, I don't know what that means. Mexican, but not, like a little bit off. Lindsay asked how she got her direct number, and the woman said that she had been recommended by a previous client. So she's got a bit of spidey sense going on here. I mean, I think that she's probably excited because this is, if she can sell a $1 million house, I mean, that commission is going to be amazing, right? But at the same time, she's like, she's a junior agent. She doesn't have much of a profile. And I guess she's feeling like this is like a little bit too good to be true. She tells her boyfriend Jason and her dad Jeff about it and just sort of wants to unload about how she feels, how it's not feeling quite right. But Jason especially, who's from a family of real estate moguls himself, is like, the commission on this is going to be next level. So just go with it. Just do it, right? So Lindsay finds a property that fits the brief and makes an appointment with the client to view it at around 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 2nd, 2008. Now, Jason said to Lindsay, who is still like quite hesitant about it, look, I'll come along. I'll sit in my car out the front of the house just in case you need me. I'm there for moral support. So she's like, yep, okay, cool. Good idea. On the day, Jason and Lindsay have lunch together, a long lunch because they ended up leaving the restaurant at about 4:30 p.m. From here, they left in their separate cars because Lindsay wanted to go home and get changed first before she did the viewing. Jason goes and picks up a friend from a car repairer and they agree to meet at the house at 5:30. So the street where the house is actually a cul-de-sac, but the house is kind of like at the start of the cul-de-sac. So, and it's also on the edge of a main road. So it's quite like, it's not tucked away or anything like that. Lindsay shows up at 5:30, but Jason has been caught up picking up his friend there. And, you know, there's been a little bit of texting back and forth to let Lindsay know about this. So he's not there dead on 5:30 when it rocks around. What we do know is that at 5:30, a man and a woman would show up at the house. They walked there. They didn't like drive up the driveway or anything. They kind of walked around from somewhere. This was witnessed by two people who said that it was a white couple. He was about 6 foot tall with dark hair, and the woman was a shorter blonde lady who was wearing quite a distinctive black and red dress. And these witnesses said that these people looked anywhere between 35 and 45. The witnesses see Lindsay greet them, shake their hands, and then the three of them enter the house. 10 minutes later at 5:40, so Jason's only 10 minutes late, he and his mate arrive and they think, all right, we'll park out the front. When they drive into the driveway, though, they see the man and the woman walk out the front door. So they kind of come out the front door, but then they see the car there and they turn around and they walk back in again. So Jason goes, okay, that's a bit weird. Maybe they're still just looking around or whatever. But after 10 minutes, he decides that maybe I look a little bit shady parked in the driveway, you know, look like I'm a little bit of an overbearing boyfriend. So he pulls out and he goes just around to the side of the house on the main road and parks there and waits. He waits another 10 minutes and then thinks, it's been a while, better go check in, make sure everything's okay. He texts Lindsay and asks if she's all right, but she never replies. And later we find out that she never actually opened this message. So he goes round to the front of the house, tries to open the door, but it's locked, which is weird because these people apparently are still there looking at the house. He peeks in through the glass and sees Lindsay's shoes in the entry hall, so he can assume that she's still there. He knocks, no answer, and he can't see anyone moving around in the house either. So he's worried now. He calls 911, and while doing so, or whatever Canada's version of 911 is, and while doing so,
You were going to say Canada.
Canadian 911.
Canada. Yeah. Everyone always goes to say Canada by accident.
Okay. Whatever. You know what I mean? So he calls the police, and while he's doing this, he walks around the house to see if there's perhaps like another way into the house or out of the house or whatever. His mate is helping him and finds a hole in the back fence. So he goes through the hole into the backyard. And on entering the backyard, he sees that the back sliding door is wide open. So he calls out to Jason. And at this point, Jason says to the emergency operator, look, we've managed to find a way in. So we're going in. And then he hangs up with them. Jason's mate goes through the back door and up to the front door and unlocks it, letting Jason in. As soon as Jason is in, he runs upstairs and finds Lindsay laying in a pool of blood in the master bedroom. On seeing this, he calls the emergency back again, And by the time paramedics get there, Lindsay is dead, having been stabbed multiple times. So, thoughts so far?
See what happens, real estate agents, when you're greedy.
Oh, I don't think she was greedy.
No, I'm talking about the guy, the father-in-law. She should have gone with her gut. She should have gone with her gut feeling. And then she's got this other guy going, oh, no, the commission. And she's sitting here going, I don't know. I just don't get a good vibe. Always go with the vibe.
To be fair, I think that men, like that vibe, the spidey sense thing, is not something they really have to deal with, because why would they?
Oh, yeah, they don't actually get it.
No, they don't really understand.
No, that's not true. Not all men.
Not all men, of course. No, I'm not using that as a criticism. I'm just saying that in general, men don't really have the same concerns.
It's because it's linked to emotion, and many men don't feel emotion. Most men don't feel emotion the way women feel emotion.
Also, I don't think men really expect to be attacked by a rando, you know? It's not the same sort of thing for men, I think, in those situations. I think anywhere where, as a woman, we have to be somewhere on our own with someone, that's when we sort of go, okay, is this a good idea, you know?
Well, who does this woman know? Why would someone specifically ask for her? And then, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite specific, right? Feels targeted.
Yeah. So random if she doesn't have anyone after her.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose that's what you've got to sort of figure out, don't you? Like, was this something that was a targeted thing, or are they just random people? You know, what's the go? It's all a little bit weird. Now, Lindsay had no defensive injuries and, in fact, had been stabbed in the back, so it seems like it was quite a surprise attack here. Nothing had been stolen from her either, and she had not been sexually assaulted. So, I don't know, it just does, it feels targeted. Like, it feels like someone has set this up, you know, and they've specifically wanted her. So Jason and his mate are arrested immediately and taken into custody, because I suppose, you know, that's where we go in our minds when a woman is killed. But once they gave their story and it was all verifiable by CCTV from the garage, etc., like, they were released, so they weren't held for long. Jason would be interviewed many times over the next few years, but he would stick to his story, and he even took a polygraph. So. Which he passed. So he.
Yeah, I don't know. For the first time in a while, I don't get the vibe that this guy's lying.
No, it just feels like it was someone else to me at this point.
It would also be too risky with two people involved.
Yeah, and it's broad daylight as well. So he would, however, refuse to give DNA, which I don't really think is a huge deal. I mean, it's possible his DNA would have been on her anyway and her belongings. So. Maybe muddied the waters, you know.
Yeah.
So speaking of DNA, the crime scene was so clean. There was no DNA, no fingerprints, no physical evidence whatsoever. The consensus is that they must have just parked down the street a little bit, and once they tried to leave out the front door and saw Jason there, they turned back around and went out the back door and through that hole in the fence. So, yeah, I guess it's like, who are these people? That is the big question, right? Like. Mm. It sounds like a professional hit almost, the way that it was just so easily carried out and left no forensics behind whatsoever. But, yeah, I mean, I suppose you've got to look into her life and see if there's anything more to support that theory. So they did. They looked more into her, and when they looked at phone records, they found that the phone that called Lindsay had been purchased months before the murder and never used, so it was like a burner phone. It wasn't used until Lindsay was called, and it was purchased under the name Paolo Rodriguez and registered to an actual business address in Vancouver. When they looked at this business, though, it seems to have no connection whatsoever, so it was likely just selected randomly. As far as pings go, they appear to have caught the ferry over from Vancouver, because Victoria is an island over there. They'd caught the ferry over the day before, but immediately after the murder, the phone was just deactivated and disposed of. So it seems as though this was something that had been in the works, being planned for a couple of months. So that makes it seem more like a hit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but why is it a hit?
Yeah, this woman's like in her early 20s. What can she have done?
Like, yeah, literally, why is it a hit? I don't get.
Yeah.
What has she done?
Yeah.
You don't just hit someone. Does she have like an ex?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll go into theories and we'll have a look at this. So, I mean, on the surface, it doesn't look like she's linked to any sort of shadiness. But one of the main theories is that Jason actually arranged this hit. And this comes down to the small bits of shadiness that may or may not end up adding up to something bigger. So we've got the fact that he was trying to push her to go to this showing despite her feeling uneasy. Then he says, I'll come wait out the front, but he's 10 minutes late. And the friend he was with was actually more of a colleague, so they've never actually hung out before. Even he said he thought that it was weird that he offered to sort of pick him up and hang out with him because it wasn't something they'd done before.
Maybe my vibes are off today.
We've got the fact that as soon as he enters the house, he goes straight upstairs to the room like he knew where she would be. Also, we have him seeing the couple walking out of the house and deciding, oh, I'd better not be here. I'll drive around and park on the other road. Like, why worry about that, you know? So, yeah, what are your thoughts on all of that? All very circumstantial little things, but do they add up to something more, do you think?
Yes, yes. But you can make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I'm just not getting the vibe from this guy.
Yeah, I think all these things are like little things that could be interpreted either way, but like there's no smoking gun or anything here, I don't think. Also, motive. Like, why would he?
Yeah, what's the motive?
Yeah.
Do we have any goss? Is there any goss to sort
there's,
of...
There's no goss. There's nothing. There's nothing other
okay.
than...
Well, then why? So, yeah, yeah, okay, he hired a hit on her. Why?
Yeah. I mean, just break up with her. Like, it's not like you're married or anything. So the next theory involves a drug cartel. So we're jumping here to something a lot more serious. So Lindsay herself didn't appear to be involved in the drug world or anything like that, but she knew people. So about 8 weeks before the murder, Lindsay was on a trip to Calgary. And while she was there, she decided to contact a person who was a friend of her ex-boyfriend. Now, we don't know whether she did get hold of him. It looks like she might have, but you know, if so, what they spoke about, we're not sure. Why they caught up, we're not sure. But this guy actually is part of a cartel. The following month, this guy is arrested as being pretty seriously involved in a drug trafficking situation. So while Lindsay herself had nothing to do with the cartel and may have just been like catching up with an old friend, it is hypothesized that perhaps she was mistaken by the cartel as like some sort of informant or something like that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Possible, but
yeah,
pretty unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possible, but pretty.
Not probable. Possible, but not probable.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a cartel would want proof before they did a hit.
You know? Yeah.
And there's nothing to suggest.
I'm not sure a stupid cartel.
Well, who knows what the Calgary cartels are like? Maybe they're different to the Mexican cartels. I don't know. French-Canadian cartel. It's like a whole different version.
Well, yeah, the French.
Want some drugs, eh? So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like a cartel would want proof before they did a hit. Like killing a middle-class white woman is going to bring a lot of attention. So you'd want to be sure that your risk-to-benefit ratios were on point at this stage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the police have said that she never was an informant. So if this theory is true, either they're lying and she was, or and she was discovered, or she was otherwise involved maybe. I mean, neither seems very likely to me. It seems like a bit of a stretch, the whole cartel world thing. Now, there is one last suspect, and that is Jason's mother, Shirley. She first came to attention when a few months after the murder, Lindsay's friend Nikki got a phone call in the middle of the night from a number that she didn't recognise. Now, it woke her up. She was groggy, so she didn't really take in what this woman was saying to her. She did notice that she had quite a strange accent, though. Not quite Spanish. Like we said, Mexican, but not quite. She just couldn't quite place it. She remembered that Lindsay had this similar caller before she was murdered. So unfortunately, she kind of makes that connection, though, after this person had already hung up. So this woman hung up and she's like, hang on a second, this sounds exactly like what happened to Lindsay. So she calls the number back and she keeps on calling it like over 20 times until somebody finally answers the phone. And it is Shirley Zalo, Jason's mother, who answers the phone. Now, Nikki is like, how did you get my number and why are you calling me? Shirley says, oh, I'm not sure why I've got your number, but I thought I was calling my assistant, Nikki. Shirley disputes that this call ever happened. She said, nope, didn't happen. She's making it all up. But this friend is adamant that it happened. So Shirley was in real estate too, and in fact, she worked for the same agency as Lindsay. Now, some sources say that she didn't really like Lindsay at all. The family were also like bigwigs and had lots of money. Now, allegedly, they had dealings with the criminal world as well. And also, allegedly, she has denied knowing many underworld figures, but has actually been photographed with them. So she kind of runs in these circles a little bit, we can say. Lindsay's dad, Jeff, thinks that Shirley is responsible and says so all over his website that he's created just for this case. He claims that Lindsay came to him and said that she had had something she shouldn't have seen in regards to Shirley. But honestly, they work together, so she could have been stealing stationery, for all we know, and, you know, or like been seen having a liquid lunch down at the pub or something. We don't know how serious this thing was that she saw. Lindsay's mother, Evelyn, is quick to say that Jeff is completely off base and that she wouldn't believe a thing that he says because he's a little bit of a loose unit. And he does come across as a bit of a crazy dude as well. Shirley actually ended up suing Jeff for the stuff that he put on his website. So there's that as well. So thoughts on Shirley?
Again, why?
Yeah, why kill? Killing's a big step, people. It's not just something you do willy-nilly.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get a little bit of like potential monster-in-law, future monster-in-law vibes from her. But other than that.
That's extreme.
Yeah, it's a bit far.
Extreme dislike for the girl that could be with your son.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know.
There are far worse daughter-in-laws out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's worse mother-in-laws out there too. So
I don't know why I said yeah. I don't know why I just said yeah. I've not experienced any of them. I've been really lucky, actually. I've never had a bad mother-in-law. So, in fact, I've been generally been liked more than their own freaking son. So, being questioned, why are you with him? You can do so much better.
Should have been the red flag right there.
That was my favorite. I didn't listen. I don't listen. But yeah, you know, I get the whole. I've also never dated like a European. Are they European?
No, Canadian.
Canadian. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Canadians are like the Italians and stuff. You know, because you know, Nonna never wants her son being taken away from her.
Yeah. Right.
So
it's just very extreme, though, and it involves other people. Like that, if this is somebody hiring a hit, then they've actually like, and I mean, let's talk about that as well. Whether or not this is,
we all talk about the Canadians like they're super chilled. Maybe they're actually really not. Maybe they're they're so aggressive and angry that it's sort of like gone past the point of pure rage that they come off as so chilled and calm.
Yeah. Well, look. Not everyone can be the same. So I'm sure that there are those people in all civilizations. Let's talk about these two people, right, that actually perpetrated the crime. They dressed up nicely. It wasn't something that they were trying to hide, like neighbors saw them. I'll put a photo of the dress that this woman was wearing. It was very distinctive and unique. So
you don't want to be distinctive and unique if you're going to be doing something like that.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, they weren't trying not to draw attention to themselves. And then they just sort of disappeared, though. But obviously very good at what they were doing. So it's also a really weird way to do a hit, I think, like to stab someone to death and to have like a bit of a trail as far as like phone calls and that sort of thing go. I don't know. It just feels like a weird type of hit, if that's what it was. So, but as far as those theories that we've just discussed, like, I just don't know that there's any evidence either way to just suggest any of them were a thing, you know. It's just such a strange thing to happen to a young woman. It's so violent. We've got these sort of loose connections to underground shit, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think that we need to entertain the possibility that there's another theory here, and that is that these guys were like murderers. Like, they did this because they wanted to murder someone. I don't know why they picked her, though. The fact that they sort of seem to have planned it for quite a time before they actually did it shows that it was quite targeted. But Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre. I don't actually have an answer for this one. I don't know. What are your final thoughts?
No, I've got nothing. Like, it's all very weird. I don't get the vibe from the boyfriend. Mother-in-law seems too extreme. Cartel seems like a bad movie plot. I
Yeah.
got nothing.
Yeah, were these random psychos that just chose some young poor girl that was just doing her job? I don't know. I don't know. None of it makes sense. Don't know what to say.
No, I don't, unless there's a whole bunch of information that we don't know about her. I've
She
got
was like
nothing.
24. She's so young. Like, you don't even have a chance to get into too much trouble in your life at that age.
Weird that there's no evidence on the scene whatsoever as
Yeah,
well.
they've literally walked in, not touched a single thing, stabbed someone to death violently.
Maybe
And
they were just stickers.
yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe they're just random killers and they just wanted to kill someone. So
Maybe it is
weird.
someone from her past. Maybe she bullied someone in primary school.
Oh, that's a pretty extreme retribution right there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kids shoot up schools for
Well,
that sort of stuff.
these people seemed at least 20 years older than her though, so I don't
Maybe it's
know. I don't know.
retribution for family.
Family, yeah. Who knows? I don't know. It just seems a weird way to do it. There are other ways that you can kill someone a lot more privately. Anyway, I don't know whether this is one that's ever going to get an answer. It's just too bizarre. So everyone come and let us know what you think. Do you think that this was some weird cartel nonsense, or was this just something totally random, or was Jason and his mum doing some weird get rid of this girl situation? I don't know. Tell us what you think, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.